call him who he is to you. You are the Holy One. You are the Righteous One. You are the Faithful One. You are the Dependable One. We glorify your holy name. Thank you, loving God, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for another Sunday in your mercy and another Sunday service in the church in our home. Oh, Daddy, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Accept our thanks and praises in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Satan's thoughts that he has closed down the church buildings, not knowing that you have opened churches in our homes. Daddy, we appreciate you. We glorify your holy name. We worship you, that in the church in our homes, we will dwell in your presence forevermore. Father, come and take all the glory. Come and take all the honor. Come and take all the adoration. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray. I want you to cover your home, your prayer premises with the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus on your home, on your prayer premises. Every plant that the Lord has not planted in your home or your prayer vicinity, the Lord will uproot them in the mighty name of Jesus. Your name will be glorified in our life. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we will dwell in your presence forevermore. Take all the glory, Lord. Take all the honor. Take all the adoration. Let your name be glorified. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. In Psalm 118, verse 24, the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. I want to also be thanking him ahead. This is the week the Lord has made. Let's be thanking him because we are going to rejoice. We are going to be glad in it. We are alive to see a Sunday like this, and in his presence there is fullness of joy. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy on us. Thank you for giving us the grace. Thank you for turning our individual homes to churches. Daddy, we praise you. When we read about Priscilla and Aquila in the Bible and the church in their home, we did not know that a time will come when you are going to turn our individual homes into churches. Father, may your presence remain permanently in our homes in the mighty name of Jesus. May we never leave your presence. Daddy, we worship you. We glorify your holy name. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you adoration. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Now, amen. Start talking to God. This morning, come and talk to me. Father, talk to me. Father, I want to hear you. Come and talk to me in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me not be hearers alone. Let me be doers of your word. Speak to me, O Lord. Let your word come and meet me at my point of need. Meet me richly, O Lord. The Bible says the entrance of your word bringeth light and comfort and stability even to the weary. Daddy, today, O Lord, we ask that your word, as your word will come, it will come with accuracy, it will come with power, it will come to meet us at a point of need. It will solve solutions in the mighty name of Jesus. It will make us solutions to the world in the mighty name of Jesus. You said, can you do anything without telling Abraham? Daddy, through your word today, speak to us. Let your name be glorified. We are children of Abraham. We are the friend of you. We are your friend. We are born again. We are sanctified. Holy Spirit, come and take us control. Let your word dwell richly in our life to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Today, amen. I'm not going to be preaching as say, and I'm not going to say we are in a Bible study class. We just want to hear the mind of God. I've been praying, and God said concerning Noah, concerning Abraham, when he wanted to destroy the first world, Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, can anything, can I take decision without informing my servant Abraham, knowing fully well that he will not keep it to himself, he will teach his children, he will teach his children's children, he will spread the news around the world. And we thank God because we know this morning our Father, the Lord told us, it may take long, but we are passing through. Oh, we are passing through. There is light behind the tunnel, whether we like it or not. The coronavirus, the pandemic, they are already winding up. And to God will be all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. So today, if you want to give a title to it or a title to study to the introduction, as in the day of Noah. As in the day of Noah. I know whenever we hear that phrase, as in the days of Noah, oh, everybody think about the end of the world or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. When you look at Matthew chapter 24, he said all this will happen, but the end has not come. These things are happening, pestilence, war, diseases, viruses, and so on, they are happening. But man, God told us that, but the end has not come. But the end has not come. So in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39, Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, God was talking to us. He said, but as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of, in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Yes, the coming of the Lord. Oh, before I was born, it has been said, the Lord is coming back soon. And I know a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years before us is like a day before God. But we know Jesus is coming soon. Oh, the signs and whatever, all those things that has been predicted concerning his second coming, they are glaring us at face. Whether you like it or not, God is giving us another opportunity, even to seek his face, to get closer to him, because all these signs are glaring that the second coming of the Lord is not here. It's so important that God even repeated it. God repeated it in Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 27. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 27. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they were marrying wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, nothing will happen suddenly to us without God informing us. And I pray that the present destruction will not affect any one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. 1,000 may fall by our side, 10,000 by our right hand, but they will never come near us. We are living in the days when the word of God is literally being fulfilled in our lives. And we are this generation that worship God in the spirit. And we know that nothing that God will want to do, that he will not do to us. He will not inform us before doing it. Although he has the prerogative, but he called us his friend. We are the children of God. And today is not an exception. So what were those conditions like in the days of Noah? And the same question I want you to ask is, apart from the condition you want to know, why should we be concerned? Why should we be concerned? Last Sunday, I was to minister. I had a different message. But God told me this one, that he wants his people to be alert. All things work together for good. This is a message for me. This is a message for you. Why should we be concerned? The first thing I want us to see, if you open the newspaper, you listen to the news, that it is coronavirus. It's the main topic, it's the hot topic. And suddenly, they started mentioning about lockdown. Lockdown. It's another adjective that has been added to our adjective, but it's not a new one. Lockdown is a language of the prison. I want you to listen to that. Lockdown is a language of the prison. The dictionary and Google's meaning say lockdown. Lockdown was defined as the confining of prisoners to their cells, typically in order to regain control during riots. Google went further to say, lockdown is a state of isolation or restricted access instituted as a security measure. Can you see? So the prisoner and the youth, they understand this, that lockdown is a language of the prison, and we are no prisoners. Now the question is, are we locked down or are we shut in? Are we locked down or are we being shut in? I believe sincerely God will answer that as we continue the question. Also, when you look at lockdown, lockdown sounded more like being grounded. Ask any youth, they understand what it means to be grounded. It is like punishment. The young person understand it more, the language. And the question, why? What have we done to God to warrant a lockdown or being grounded or this punishment? They need an answer. And we're serving a living God. He will never keep quiet. He will not only tell us what to do, he only explain the reason why he's doing what he's doing. And to God be all the glory. Today is not an exception. So today God is telling us that we are not locked down. Unbelievers, the people of the world are locked down, but we are shut in. And that is like in the days of Noah. What God did was to ask them to move into the ark. Noah closed the door, but God locked them in. When death, the angel of death was moving around the world of that time and killing them in drones and in millions and in crowds, God shut them in. When sicknesses and water was flowing, waterborne diseases were ravaging the world, ravaging homes, those who are in the ark are shut in. God is telling us that like in the days of Noah, we are being shut in. Noah was shut in the ark with eight of them. And they came out. So this is divine assurance for us that we are coming out. Tell it to your neighbor or somebody beside you or to yourself if you are alone. Say, I am coming out. We are coming out, says the Lord. We are coming out unhurt. We are coming out alive. We are coming out strong. We are coming out anointed. in the mighty name of Jesus. At the beginning of this year, our father in the Lord, Pastor Adeboye, told us that God told him that in this period, we'll still be missing some of what he said, that the world is going to be on holidays. And God corrected me that yes, the world is on holidays, but we are not of the world. We may be in the world, but we are not of the world. We are not conformers, we are transformers. God says the world may be on holidays, but his children are on retreat. Our children are on retreat. Oh, why they are panicking and in fear, God wants to fellowship with you. If as of today, you are still remain the same person before the pandemic, oh, I pity you. You better go on fasting and seeking the face of God. I am enjoying God. Since the pandemic started, I've been enjoying God, enjoying in his presence, talk to him like friends. In fact, when I misplace my phone, I just say, God, the Holy Spirit, where is the phone? And before you know it, he will tell me where it is. Oh, what do I eat this morning, Daddy? Oh, what do I need to use to break my fast? You can talk to him mouth to mouth. When God was testifying concerning Moses, he said, there are prophets in your midst. If there are priests in your midst, I speak to them in visions and in dreams. But he said, my servant Moses is not like that. Him do I speak to mouth like friends. He said, like friends. And Jesus said, hey, that's why I call you no servant. You are my friend. We are friend of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. He calls me friend. So as a friend, we talk. Oh, you can be low, you can be alone. Loneliness is a choice. Wherever you are, you can be alone with God, and you can talk with God. You can talk to him. He can give you direction. He can explain to you whatever you are reading in this God. Talk to somebody. Start enjoying God. We are serving a living God. We are not locked down. Oh, we are shut in. Oh, we are not on holidays. We are not we are on a retreat. I am enjoying God. Say that to somebody, and it shall be so in the mighty name of Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 7, we discover that Noah close was told to erect an ark. Because of our time, I want you to read Genesis chapter 7, Genesis chapter 8, Genesis chapter 9, and you'll be able to understand what the message that God is sending to us. So when the ark was being constructed, up to that time, there was no rain. And suddenly, when Noah started, was told to go and announce to everybody that the flood is coming, the rain is coming, the flood is coming, come into the ark. Everybody was invited. Every species of the animal were brought into the ark, but some people refused. They did not go because they did not believe. If like a year ago, we told you that a time is coming when it will be difficult to go out and do, and that the whole world is going to go just one virus, many people will not believe. But God has told us from the beginning of this year that it is not going to be business as usual. God told us that the world will be like a child in confusion. So, like the day of Noah, the Lord has been keeping us. With his triple lamination of the blood of Jesus, we are kept alive. 8,000 have been falling by our side, 10,000 like by our right hand, like he said in Psalm 91. They have not come near us. In fact, because we are shut in, we can only see them on television. We can only hear them on television. It is not like they are coming into our dwelling place. Will somebody shout hallelujah to God? He's faithful. The fire of God, the Holy Spirit, and the shield of his favor has been keeping us. And God is not tired. He will keep on keeping us in the mighty name of Jesus. So when the flood happens, only 8 people came into the ark in the then world. Others were leaning on their own understanding. This old man must be naughty. When last did it rain? So where will the flood come? It is not possible. And God is telling us, learn to not to lean on our own understanding. He said in all our ways we should acknowledge him. And he promised that he will direct our paths. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 8, the first thing to open the chapter is verse 1. He said, God remembered Noah and everything that was in the ark. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as you go through this retreat, God will remember you for good. God has not forgotten. God recalls, God remembers Noah. The God that remembers Noah is telling me to tell somebody under the sound of my voice that your case is not too difficult for God. He will remember you in the mighty name of Jesus. He did not rush out. Noah stayed in the ark, even though he saw the water receding. He saw the water receding. He did not rush out. In verse 5, they saw the top of the mountain, yet he waited for 40 days. Some of us are missing our businesses. Some of us are missing our money. Some of us are missing. The Lord who has been keeping us from the beginning of the pandemic is still alive. He said he will do more. Don't rush out. So Noah waited in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 8. He saw the top of the mountains, yet he waited 40 days before he made a move. In verse 6 to 7, he sent a raven which went to and fro on the earth. Because the water has receded, they can see the top of the mountain, but the raven could not land anywhere. I believe because the raven did not return, I believe the raven died. And God is saying to me, ravens eat cubs. Raven eats cubs. Ravens are usually dark in color. They are far from. But to me, my own interpretation is that all those wives of the enemies, all those diseases and sicknesses, oh, God is sending them out. And they are never to return in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's continue because of our time. By the time we get to verse 6 to 7, that raven was sent, but it did not return. Noah did not rush out. He still waited another 7 days. So by the time we get to verse 8 to 9, then he sent a dove again who went to and fro on the earth and came back to the ark. And Noah took it in, showing that he has no place to rest. Then Noah still took it in. He did not go out. He waited. And this is a progressive way of getting out. And when you remember, the dove represents God the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is not a dove. It's not fire. It's not a wind. They are all symbols. God, the Holy Spirit, is a God. So the dove, which is a symbol of God, the Holy Spirit, was sent, and he came back, and he was let in. While the raven went and did not come back, I believe God is speaking to somebody. Then also, by the time we get to verse 10 to 11, later he sent the dove again from him, who went out and came back. And when the dove was coming back, he came back with a freshly plucked olive leaf. Freshly plucked olive leaf. Freshly plucked olive leaf. Oh, the theologians and most children of God, we know the meaning of olive leaves. And that is anointing. That is the anointing. Olive leaves represent the anointing. Anointing that will break the yokes. Remember, the raven has come, gone. Remember, the dove is back with olive tree. The anointing. Oh, say that to somebody, I'm not getting out empty-handed. I'm being fortified. I'm being anointed. I'm being strengthened. You don't even want to face what is going to be outside. He came back with freshly plucked olive leaf. Again, a symbol of divine anointing. The anointing that breaks all yokes. You expect that with that leaf, it shows that the water has receded. Now they can go out. Not Noah. Noah did not go out. In verse 12, Noah knew that water has receded, but he still waited another 7 days. He waited another 7 days. Even when he still waited, he waited trusting God until God came to him. In verse 15 to 17, now it is time for you to go out. Whose report are you believing? The report on the television, the one on the radio, the rumors, the politicians, and so on. Wait upon the Lord. Trust also in him. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Noah waited until God told him to go out. Well, we've had today, they ask children to return to school. It is optional. Is God telling you to return back to school? Oh, they are relapsed, so on and so forth. Many countries are quickly relapsed. We are getting reports that the effect of the pandemic or coronavirus keep on increasing. Two reports are you believing? As children and friends of God, we must believe the report of the Lord. And the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Another beautiful thing that I will discover as it was in the day of Noah, we can see in chapter 9. By the time the first thing Noah did when he get out in Genesis chapter 9, I want us to write it down. Let's write verse 1 to 17, for time we will not be able to read it. The first thing he did was to erect an altar, burnt offering and thanksgiving. I believe sincerely that the first service we are going to hold together after this pandemic will be a family thanksgiving. When we will come with our children, our family, our spouses, our wives, our husbands, our children, when we want to thank God. And apart from that, when the Lord smelled the aroma, when we read it, we get it. First thing happened, the Lord rebuked. The Lord remove, the Lord erase the curse on mankind in Genesis chapter 3. When man sinned, the Lord removed the curse. That's why I said you have all the time. Study Genesis chapter 8, 9, and 10, and use this as a guide. That is all the causes, whether ancestral, whether personal, whether national, I tell you, after this pandemic, God is already removing them. In the mighty name of Jesus, all those struggles, all those aches and pains, God has already removed them. And that notwithstanding, because of my time, I don't want to take more time because we are still going to pray. Prayer is never too much. Another thing that happened in Genesis chapter 9, God renewed the blessing. The blessing of Genesis chapter 1. God renewed the blessings of Genesis chapter 1. He blessed them. They are to multiply. They are to increase. And so on and so forth. God renewed the blessings of Genesis chapter 1. So what is God telling us now? That is, we are going out. To God be all the glory. We are going back to the normal world, but it's going to be a new normal. Oh, if I have my rights, we will gather in church. Every services that we do in church will be online. So even those who are at work can tune to it. Those who are in Nigeria can see it. Those who are in Zimbabwe can see it. Those who are in Kenya can see it. Those who are in South Africa can see it. Remember the promise of the Lord. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached all over the world. Matthew 24 verse 14. It is after it has been preached all over the world that the end will come. As we are speaking now, I'm not in your house, you are seeing me. As we are speaking now, it's possible for somebody to be, for somebody like Sister Tolak to be in Wales and seeing us. Some people will be in Nigeria and be seeing and be hearing me. This gospel must go all over the world. The world may be panicking. They don't understand coronavirus. They don't know what is going on. But God is sending us, you are going to retreat. I've shut you in. I'm dealing with you. I'm empowering you. I'm strengthening you so that you are going to come out a different person and start a new normal. A new normal. This is an example for us. To whom wish the end of the world has come. This is an example for us. But God is not keeping us in darkness. Because history has a way of repeating itself. And this is what God is trying to tell us, children of God, that we are not locked down. We are shut in. And it's a deliberate attempt by God to make sure that he has time to prepare us for the new normal. To prepare us for the new normal. So if you are there, my friend and my brothers, and you have been sleeping, you have been holidaying, thinking that you are on holiday, I beg you, the time is short. You are not going out the way you went in. God will strengthen you. God will anoint you. Your shadow, you get out, your shadow will be raising the dead. Oh, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will decree a thing and it will be established for you. This is the time. This is the preparation time for the new normal that God wants to do for us. Somebody praise the Lord.
Brethren,
in closing, I just want to say, it is possible to be assuming. Many of us can be coming to church like we come. Some of us are young, we follow our parents to the church, and we see it as an holiday, and you don't have any relationship with God. If anyone has not the Spirit of God, it's not part of him. And today is another day. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Today is the day of salvation. tomorrow might be too late. If you are there, you are not giving your life to Christ, well, what a better way to do it? He's everywhere. He hears every prayers. He can do all things. Why not give your life to him? And do you know what he says? He's been waiting for you. He said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. He said, behold, I wait at the door. I knock at the door, waiting for you. If any man hear my voice and open the door of my heart, his heart, I will come to him. I will sup with him and he with me. Brethren, if you have children who can listen to this message, is old enough to give his life or her life to Christ. If you are there, you have been playing church, and you think that you can continue. By their fruit, you will know them. Many people, they come to church to show their new dresses, to show their new shoes. When was the last time you are able to show your dresses or your new shoes? God is asking you. Many people give offerings because people will see them, because they are religious. They dance to the front to drop the money. Since we have been paying online, how many offerings have you paid? This is the time for you to re-examine yourself. This is examine to receive. Many of us will sit at home and people will be bringing food for us. People will be treating us and so on and so forth. How many people have you been able to influence? How many people have you been able to be a blessing to? This is a time to re-examine ourselves. And I pray that God in his mercy will meet us at a point of need. So if you are there, you are not giving your life to Christ. Because I want you to join us in this closing prayer. I want you to say, Lord Jesus, oh, I know I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Forgive all my sins. I receive you. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that you came into the world to take away my sin. Total surrender. I surrender all to you. All to you, my blessed Savior. Come into my life. Write my name in the book of life. And I tell you, all things will be passed away. And behold, all things will become new. And so our Father in heaven, King of glory, will worship, taking to rest as their Lord and Savior right now. In their homes or wherever they are listening to this message. Father, like you have promised that anybody who comes to you, you will not send back. Father, receive them in the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive their sins. Write their names in the book of life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Now, quickly, we are going to round up with prayers. From that theory, we discover that sin came into the world with the fall of man. Sin came to the world. It was when Adam and Eve sinned that sin came into the world. But after the Noah's Ark, God removed away the cause of sin. Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans chapter 6 verse 14 says, sin shall have no dominion over you. Now let us be quickly. Let's cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Father, remove sin away from my household. Take sin away from my life. Father, remove all my sins in the mighty name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Everything that is called sin, Father, remove from my life. Cleanse me from all my sins. You said, if I say I have not sinned, I deceive myself. The truth is not in me. But as I confess my sins, you are faithful and you are just to forgive me all my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Father, cleanse me from all sins. So shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Another thing that came with the fall of man is fear. Oh, men are still fearing. Men are still fearing. But God told us that Job went through his experiences because of his fear. In fact, in Job 3:25, the Bible says, "For the things that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid is come unto me." But God told us already in 2 Timothy 1:7 that he has not given us the spirit of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, though we must have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. According to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, we need the fear of God. When we fear God, there's nothing to fear. 1,000 may be falling there, 10,000 by the other way. It will not come near us. Now talk to God. Every root of fear in my life, in my household, Father, remove them in the mighty name of Jesus. Every root of fear in my life, in my household, Father, remove them in the mighty name of Jesus. The same thing with sickness. Father, I will not be sick in the mighty name of Jesus. Sickness came to the world through the fall of man. Father, remove sickness from my life. Proverbs 3:7-8 says, "The word of God will be health unto our bones." And God says in 1 John 3:1, 1 John 3:2, that he which above all things, that will be in health, even as our soul prospereth, will prosper and be in health. That is the portion of God for you. Now concerning, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over sickness, away with cancer, away with virus, every disease, it will not come near our house in the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, death came through the fall of man. I will live, I will not die. Physically, I will not die. Spiritually, I will not die. I continue to pray. Spiritually, I will not pray. Mentally, I will not die. Financially, I will not die. Matrimonially, I will not die. I will live to declare the glory of God. Let us pray for our church, that God in his mercy will strengthen us as the church of God, which is the body of Christ. And finally, let's say, Lord, give us our place in Leicester. We need a permanent place. Father, give us our place in Leicester. I will not close this prayer without remembering the frontline staffs, those who are risking their life in the course of duty. The doctors, the pharmacists, the nurses, many of them are the cleaners, the bus drivers. Let's cover them with the blood of Jesus. Father, be merciful. In time of judgment, remember mercy. Shall we pray? And so, our Father in heaven, King of glory, we worship you. Daddy, we thank you because you have sent your word and you have delivered us. I pray that we'll not be hearers alone, we'll be doers of your word. Perfect everything that concerns us. As many as are under the sound of my voice, I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I say you hallow their prayer points, prayer homes, prayer premises. Death will not enter. Sickness will not enter. Sin will not enter. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will keep all of us safe. No evil will come near us. Whether we are frontline staffs or we are staying at home and being regarded as vulnerable, Daddy, we will not beg to eat. We will not beg to drink. We will not beg to live. But at the end of this pandemonium, O Lord, we will come out from our retreat strong and able to do exploit for our God. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray.